There has never been a better time to work at Amazon. Right now, they are offering higher sign-on bonuses and more hourly pay. Earn more this season with part-time or full-time jobs with flexible shifts that you choose to fit your life. You can start working in as little as 7 days. Amazon also provides countless opportunities to advance your career through training and tuition programs so you can reach your highest potential. To get started today, go to Amazon.com/apply. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
When we keep Idaho students in classrooms, they have better physical and mental health. Help keep the student you love in school by getting them vaccinated if they're eligible. Make sure they wear a mask, frequently wash their hands, and stay home and get tested when sick. Our teachers and other school staff can also do their part by choosing to vaccinate, wearing a mask, and supporting other preventive measures. For more information on preventive measures, please visit coronavirus.idaho.gov or contact your child's school.
So, he's not waiting until after Sunday's games, I guess, now.
Who, Josh? Who?
OBJ.
Oh, that's right.
He was going to wait till after Sunday's games.
Correct.
Was the late afternoon report.
And then finally somebody actually offered him, and so he decided to take that,
and then
right?
when he got an offer he liked.
Thank God that's over.
Yeah.
No kidding. The Panda Watch is over.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Or the... Was it Panda Watch was the one that was the big one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on CNN.
Yeah, no, that was Anchorman, Josh.
Oh, it was Anchorman. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Either way. It's all about the same style of news anyway, right?
CNN or Anchorman, what's the
either
difference?
Either way, there really isn't
what's
any anymore, Josh.
I'd like
really
to see a bunch
isn't.
Of news teams fight.
Yeah. Oh, you can do that here in Kansas City. I'm sure 41 will square up against 5 and go at it. That Neil Jones, he likes to steal golf carts. I'm sure he'll fight somebody, right? Maybe. You've seen him on TV spray painting cars.
Maybe.
So, coming for you, Neil Jones.
So OBJ is going to the Rams, and you step back and you go, well, of course he is.
That's like, right, yeah.
Of course, he's got to go to L.A. This is the easiest decision in the world.
So not one of the ones he was honing in.
Yeah,
on.
No. Ones, they admitted they came in late.
Mystery team.
Yeah,
they were the mystery team. They came in late, and of course, why wouldn't he want to go to L.A.
The Rams?
You don't. He can be mediocre in L.A. and he'll still be a star. So it'll be fine. The perfect spot for him. I really can't wait for the Rams to lose in the NFC Championship game, though. That is going to be so...
Oh, you think they'll make it that
that's
far,
that's going to be so
huh?
fulfilling.
You'll think they'll make it that far to the NFC Championship game.
Damn.
Look at you over there with the expectation of the Rams. I think they lose
Josh
sooner
Bitterman,
than that.
Everybody. Josh Bitterman.
No, I don't think it's Bitterman. I think it's realistic.
I nailed the NFC last year, Ryan. I don't know why
it was true.
Yeah.
Got a real, real good
this,
pulse
it was about
on the
this
Bucks.
Time a year ago. We were sitting here going, I don't think Tampa's
I
any good, right?
Completely crossed off the Buccaneers.
Oh, God, yes.
After the regular season match with the Chiefs. So why wouldn't I try to go 2 for 2 on this one,
right?
And let's see, but they're just completely loading up for we're gonna play this in our home building.
They want it bad,
and they
right?
want too bad. So
and I think Stan Kroenke needs that money of his team playing in the Super Bowl. He's got to pay St. Louis.
Yeah, he might. So they're throwing everything at the wall. So of course OBJ there makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know how their accountants are doing all this stuff, but they're amazing.
Well, they're good.
And then also they're doing it the Laker and the Dodger way,
which is
drafts be damned, mm-hmm. young players be damned. We're just gonna go buy it.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean they're not in the mode of the Chargers and the Clippers who have to do some things, you know, via the draft.
They're like
to get
the small market teams
this
in
is,
LA.
This, yeah, exactly. They're the Lakers. The Lakers don't care who's in their draft or go get it. Let's go buy LeBron. We'll just go buy the ball hog guy and we'll make it work. So this is perfect for LA. I'm almost mad at myself. I'm going, oh, duh, of course it's going to be
LA. But I mean, that's the LA mentality, though, Josh. I mean, you have to be out there fighting for everybody's entertainment dollar because there is so much to do in Los Angeles. And it's a star-driven city. I mean, it's Hollywood, for God's sake. So you have to have those stars. Odell Beckham Jr., in my opinion, and I don't think he's particularly that great of a football player. I didn't want him here, as we've pointed out. But he's perfect for Los Angeles because he is a star, and that's what Los Angeles is all about. People aren't necessarily going to Dodger games to see the Dodger play. They're going to see the stars to be there. The same with the Lakers. They're not necessarily going to see the Lakers play. They're going to be part of Hollywood, to be part of the stars and all of that kind of stuff. And if you want to succeed in Los Angeles, you better have star power, and that's what the Rams are trying to do. The Rams aren't only just competing against their tenants in the stadium in the San Diego Chargers, but they're also competing against the Dodgers and the the Lakers and Hollywood and the beach and, you know, everything that Southern California has to offer. And when you're a narcissist like Odell Beckham Jr. is, it's a perfect spot. Him and LeBron can go be narcissistic together out there, you know, in Los Angeles and try to figure things out and see what happens. And just because you go out and sign all these players doesn't guarantee you anything. We've seen that before in sports where the dream teams, Philadelphia, they don't amount to winning those championships. You have to be able to, maintain your kind of what's the word I'm looking for, Josh? You have to still stay even keel and still find a way to win football games. And if you have too many stars that are demanding the ball and want the football and complaining and doing all the stuff that Odell Beckham Jr. has done in his two previous stops, it could be very long, and it could be somebody that definitely upsets the apple cart out there. But I think right now, when you look at it, like, Sean McVay has probably got to be on the hottest seat of anybody maybe in the history of sports right now, because the Rams have gone out and done everything they possibly can from a name brand addition for that team. And you look at Von Miller in the last week. You look at OBJ now being added in yesterday. There's, like, really no more excuses for the Rams not to get to and win a Super Bowl. And I would imagine that seat under Sean McVay is on fire right now.
I don't think it is, because I think that they're all in lockstep. I think that from everything they believe, like, he is, like, firmly entrenched there. Owner loves him.
I hope
GM loves him.
I think he's a good dude.
And this is their plan. Yeah. So they're running their plan. If it ultimately flops, he'd be the one that they would get rid of. But
right.
You know, he's also looked at as, like, master genius.
Right.
So I think he's on great ground there. Now, at some point in time, do they have to take a step back and actually build through the draft? Maybe,
or maybe not.
Or maybe they just keep churning, going and getting grad transfers from everybody. And
right.
Putting together a team and seeing what happens every year.
Sure.
It's a tough plan, I think, to continue to do long term, especially with the math. I think the math part of it would be the hardest part.
Right.
Like, how are they able to just navigate their dollars to do so?
Well, they don't have to pay any draft picks, you know.
Yeah, I guess they're saving their draft pool money for other things. They're throwing all their chips in all the time, and we'll see how long they can kind of run the strategy. And if it doesn't get a result, it may be short term.
The question is, though, if it works, does everybody else try to do it now too? Because, you know, this is a copycat league, and I think we're out of the, all right, we got to find our next Patrick Mahomes. We were done copying that. We're on to the next. What's the next copycat thing? And I think everybody now in this league is probably looking at the Rams right now going, is this going to be successful? And is this a successful way to do it in the NFL? If you're willing to change over every year like they're going to have to do if they keep up this pace, then maybe that's something you look at. But I would rather not change my roster over every season. But that's just me. So we'll see how it all works out. It's a great case study for how things could potentially work out in the NFL. But, you know, the one thing that came to mind for me yesterday when he ended up signing with Los Angeles, and I'm grateful for that, is that I can hear it now, Josh. I was driving to pick my daughter up at school, and I could just hear it in my mind right now. I've got a lot of things in my mind that are weird, but I can hear it now. All the fans blaming Brett Veach on this one. How did Brett Veach fail? Why didn't he get Odell Beckham Jr.? Well, take a step back for a minute. He chose LA over Kansas City. It's not like he chose St. Louis or someplace like that over Kansas City. He chose Los Angeles, and Los Angeles presents a lot of those opportunities that Kansas City, Seattle, Chicago, some of the other markets out there other than New York and Miami maybe really can't provide. It gives him an opportunity to, you know, I'm sure LeBron's going to grab him and bring him under his wing, and he's going to bring him into some of the ventures that he has going out there. This is a move for Odell Beckham Jr. that I think is more about life after football than it is about what. And that shows you, Josh, the narcissistic personality that this man is, that he took this job with the Rams, not based on how he can help the Rams, but how Los Angeles can help him.
What can you do for me?
Right. Yeah, what can Los Angeles do for me? And so basically by choosing the Rams, he has summed up everything I've been saying over the last couple of days or so about Odell Beckham Jr. and why I didn't want him here in Kansas City. It was never about him going to a team to help that team. It was all about what would be the best opportunities all around for him long-term moving forward. And Los Angeles is that. He likes to be a star. He fancies himself a celebrity.
Now, I will say you can also make the offensive fit of it, too. I mean, they've got a high-powered offense. They got a 7-2 team.
Right.
They got a revitalized Matthew Stafford. They need somebody that can go over the top down the field. Allegedly, he can do that. Chiefs didn't really need him to do that. Like, there was some giant write-up I saw, and they're like, oh, yes, they have the underneath route runners, and he's the one that can take the top off. I'm like, oh, the Chiefs didn't need that
anyway.
They have the top off guy. They need the one that can,
they need the quarterback to see the guy underneath.
That too. Yeah. But it might not even have been a great fit in that regard. And then, the extra aspect of it all, where you can go to LA and you believe LA is more pressure? I don't.
No,
I think
no.
he could go and operate and then, you know, be seen courtside at Laker games. Woo!
Yeah.
And
no, there's no fan pressure in LA.
You can appear on some, you know, Entertainment Tonight. Woo! You know, and do all the OBJ things.
Right.
So that you weren't doing in Cleveland. Right. So no, this sets up perfectly. I'm just more disappointed. I didn't think of it all along.
Yeah. LA should have been the only place that we were considering for him.
As the Chiefs were the considered rumor stop for him. Tyrann Mathieu, of course, a fellow LSU Tiger, spoke yesterday and did have OBJ's back about the attitude, locker room kind of perception of him.
First of all, I think, you know, he's an elite wide receiver, so I think all those guys want the football. But outside of that, he's always been a stand-up guy. He's always been a great teammate. You know, I can remember, you know, instances back at LSU where, you know, he did a lot of the team bonding things, you know, having guys over, you know, working out with guys, staying late with guys after practice. So, I think most of the people that know him and play with him, I think we all see him as a pretty solid, you know, teammate.
Okay, so they felt like that they could have filled it. That'd have been fine. I don't consider him an elite wide receiver by any means, but but he believes he's an elite wide receiver that wants the football. So, you know, you can't correct someone else's own perception. So, the OBJ watch is over, and he's now a member of the.
Thank goodness, we can move on with our lives. Yeah.
And they can worry about, is he going to get into the mix this week?
Yeah.
Don't you throw him out there for a few plays?
How many Rams fans out there, or people in L.A. are even waking up this morning going, who did the Rams sign today? You know, I get the L.A. Times every day, right? Sent to me because I got like 6 months for a dollar, which is like the steal of the year. And I'm looking at the front page of the L.A. Times right now. And in the bottom right-hand corner, Rams add star player Beckham, stockpiling for potential Super Bowl run. Check out page B16. Like, that's where it lands on the landscape of what's going on out in Los Angeles. Page B16 is where the Odell Beckham Jr. story ultimately ends up. And so it is a big deal NFL-wise, but in the grand scheme of things in Los Angeles, Josh, it may be the perfect place. He's got all the benefits of going out there and none of the pressures at all because nobody cares. I mean, they just don't. And if they win, great, people will be there. And if not, then people won't show up. They're not calling radio shows screaming about Odell Beckham Jr.
He's got
like
they were in Cleveland. He's got a chance to meet a Kardashian Jenner if he's there. He didn't have that in Cleveland.
Right, so,
He's got a chance to be in all the tabloids here soon.
Great.
So. meanwhile, if I gave you 10.5 right now as the over-under for the Chiefs, where would you be?
What are they at right now?
5-4.
5-4. 10.5.
The opening line for the Chiefs this year is 12.5 wins.
I know, 12.5. It's dropped
to 10. So now it's dropped to 10.5 wins.
God, based on what we talked about with the sports sorceress this morning, the astrologer to the stars.
Yes, we have an astrologer coming up at 7. Who said we should have seen this coming with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
So 10-7 or 11-6.
That looks terrible, right? Like aesthetically pleasing, 11-6, 10-7 looks terrible for this football team.
11-6, I can handle.
I can handle 11-6.
If you said it's the over, up, cool. It's 11, yeah. Great.
I think you're going to have to get the over to get into the playoffs and win the division. So
10 does not look good.
No, it does not. I'm going to take the over. I have to take the over because I still think this team is going to win the division. I still think this is a playoff team. But I don't know that 10-7 necessarily gets you in, right?
Like 5-3 the rest of the way.
Yeah, 5-3. I could see that.
I mean, sign me up for that.
Yeah, yeah. If they go 5-3 the rest of the way, that's still not the over.
That's the under. That's saying 5-3 is the under.
Right.
6-2 would be the over.
6-2 would be the over. I'm going to be optimistic and take the over on that one. I think and I feel and I hope. I think it's more of a hope right now. I hope they get it turned around. That they can get this thing figured out.
It's a great number, isn't it?
It is. It's an amazing number. That's why Vegas builds casinos, and you'll be staying in the Excalibur this weekend, room number 1275. Call Josh. Ask him for what's in the mini bar. I'm going to take the over. I'm just going to be optimistic and take the over. I think they'll go 6-2 down the stretch, because if they don't, then they're not in the playoffs. And if they're not in the playoffs, it's a disaster of a season, and changes need to be made.
Yeah, I think 10-7 does not feel like playoffs, does it?
Who's going to be the scapegoat? If they go 10-7 and don't make the playoffs, there has to be somebody, right?
Well, I mean, they're a bunch of players, but
yeah,
you're talking about coaches and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody's
depends how the offense or defense plays the remainder of the year.
Yeah, that is a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. As to which side is to blame. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he's channeling more 80s vibes again this week. Offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy addressing how the offense can get it back next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
You need a work schedule that fits your life, and Amazon has shifts that help you make the best use of your time. Whether you're a night owl, early bird, weekend warrior, or somewhere in between, discover the benefits of thinking outside the 9-to-5. You decide whether to seize the day or the night so you can get back to what matters most. Go to amazon.com/shifts to learn more. That's amazon.com/shifts. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
When we keep Idaho students in classrooms, they have better physical and mental health. Help keep the student you love in school by getting them vaccinated if they're eligible. Make sure they wear a mask, frequently wash their hands, and stay home and get tested when sick. Our teachers and other school staff can also do their part by choosing to vaccinate, wearing a mask, and supporting other preventive measures. For more information on preventive measures, please visit coronavirus.idaho.gov or contact your child's school.
When buying gifts for others, you know your choices impact lives in ways big and small, now and forever. The things you buy for someone else say a lot about who you are and what you're all about. You're tasteful, thoughtful, and meticulous. The same goes for your holiday gifts. When you choose to buy and give handmade items, they not only look great, they feel great because they're high quality and not mass-made. Celebrate the ones you love with a gift from Etsy. They're always beautifully made and incredibly thoughtful. Etsy is home to unique, one-of-a-kind, and meaningful gifts made by incredibly talented sellers. When you shop at Etsy, you know you'll find something that's made especially for you and each loved one on your list instead of the usual mass-made items. Plus, Etsy is giving first-time shoppers the gift of $10 off an Etsy purchase of $35 or more with code ETSYGIFT10. That's $10 off any Etsy purchase of $35 or more with the code ETSYGIFT10. Offer ends December 31st, 2021. See terms at etsy.com/terms.
This doesn't feel like Eric Bieniemy music necessarily.
No, it doesn't, man.
You didn't type in Eric Bieniemy to the music library and see what popped up?
Back in the stride like we had last week where he was at that shoe store that was built like a shoe.
I can pull that up.
You know how many times I watched that video last week?
Right, I don't know how many. You still watching it?
If I had the link handy, I probably would.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fantastic
video. It's a really good video.
Was it Frankie Beverly? Maze featuring Frankie Beverly or Frankie Beverly?
It's Maze. Maze.
Yeah.
Frankie Beverly.
Okay.
I'm on board.
So he was discussing last week getting back in the stride again.
Right.
They didn't exactly hit their stride again, but it was about the running game. And if he saw the first drive, I'm sure Eric Bieniemy had his Chuck Taylors on. If I'd have looked over there, he was probably doing the little dance.
Yep. You guys are nice doing a nice slow motion dance. I'm just kind of bobbing my head.
I don't really know what that was either. It was like a walk.
Like, when they score a touchdown, I need Eric Bieniemy now to just moonwalk down the sidelines, right? To this song. They should play this at the stadium.
So I'm guessing the first drive you probably was. They had 7 runs?
Yeah.
8 passes?
I had the
touchdown
runs once.
Drive? So he strapped up the Chuck Taylors and he was grooving down the sideline?
Like, if the stadium knew what they were doing, they would play this song after every touchdown now going forward.
Yeah. Every time the offense got it going. Yeah.
Do they have a touchdown song? Again, are we still trying to force feed some terrible one?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't pay attention to touchdown songs, so I don't really know.
This should be the touchdown song.
For people to do, it's probably not this one. So anyway, Eric Bieniemy talking about getting back in the stride again. I thought the first drive they did, and then
they did it.
Obviously
great.
It didn't last.
And then they threw the menu away and decided.
So this week, Eric Bieniemy is out here again. How does the offense get in a rhythm?
We just need to keep playing.
Oh.
I know that sounds just like coaching talk, but we just need to continue to play. And then on top of that, we just need to continue to execute.
Oh.
For whatever reason, we're having a breakdown here and there, and it's not just one particular position. You know, it can be a penalty. It can be a lack of route depth. It can be a poor decision made by the quarterback as far as reads are concerned.
Uh-oh.
It could be a bad read by the running back. So we're all in this together. And so when it's all said and done with, like I tell our guys each and every week, let's line up and play against the opponent, okay? Because the Chiefs right now are kicking the Chiefs' ass, all right? And so Let's go out and play against the opponent, give ourselves an opportunity, and then let's see what happens.
He listens because we've been saying that all year long.
Chiefs are kicking the Chiefs' ass.
Right? The Chiefs are kicking the Chiefs' ass.
We just need to keep playing.
You know, I continue to hear what these guys are saying at 7 o'clock.
Is there a follow-up song from Frankie Beverly? We just need to keep playing?
We're going to stop kicking our own ass. You know, I'm listening to this stuff from Eric Bieniemy, right? And at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the astrologer on, Andrea Malice, the sports sorceress, as she's known nationwide. And they're trying all this stuff, man. Sometimes it's just not in the stars for you.
That's what you're going to,
that's where I am right now.
From the microphone.
Yeah. That's where I am right now. Sometimes it's just not in the stars for you. Sometimes it's just not your year. And you're going to continue to bang your head against the wall and bang your head against the wall, but it's the gravitational pull of the universe that may be having an effect on this right now.
Chiefs right now are kicking the Chiefs' ass.
And I do believe that's part of it. I mean, not that we want to dive into like wide receiver route depth, but yeah, there's somebody not on the same page or somebody turning left and they should be turning right. There's Patrick not seeing the short stuff and throwing deep.
Is eye leverage only a thing for the defenders too? Because once they figured out eye leverage
they got the defense knee really bending.
I think the eyes are definitely there for the quarterback, you know? I mean, and
so Mahomes has poor eye leverage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
But how does it happen so fast without it being the stars, without it being Virgo, without it being Taurus or whatever, Patrick Mahomes has right now in his astrology chart. I mean, we've tried
I am
because Ryan, we've tried when everything else,
this,
right?
We spoke to this person before the show today, okay? And once you hear the interview coming up at 7 o'clock, you go, yeah, we had no chance.
We had absolutely no chance. It was in the cards from the beginning.
An uphill battle.
Right.
Here.
So we're out of here. So I think they should just take the rest of the year off and just play games and see what happens. I mean, it's already predetermined.
Was the NFL privy to this too, since it's also scripted?
Yeah, absolutely it is. Okay. Absolutely. They know what was going to be in his chart and what was going to be at hand.
The most reasonable explanation I've heard is coming up at 7
o'clock. Right. It really is. I mean, because we're sitting here going, all right, what's
just
wrong?
It involves the stars.
What's wrong with the Chiefs? What's wrong with Patrick
Roger
Mahomes?
Roger Goodell sat down and looked at this.
What's wrong with Tyreek Hill? What's wrong with Travis Kelce? What's wrong with the offensive line? Like, I feel like we're just beating our heads against the wall trying to figure something out when it may be out of everybody's control. You know, the moon above may have more pull and control over everything than Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy. They can come up with the best plays that they want.
It's the moon and the tides and the planets. Well,
I'm just asking a legit question. How do you go from being the most dynamic thing we've seen to
everybody being?
So you're telling me that aside from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive line, the only other thing that can defeat Patrick Mahomes is astrology. Yeah,
it's funny you bring that up. It's funny you bring that up with the Tampa Bay defensive line because we will actually shed some light exactly what happened in the Super Bowl.
So the only thing that can beat Patrick Mahomes is, in fact, astrology.
I agree.
Powerful magic.
Right. I don't know that it's magic. It's reality. It's your chart.
Because that's
what
it
says.
I don't have any other explanation.
Well, I'm half joking, half serious. But like, how do you go from being that dynamic force that they were to nothing?
Looking pedestrian.
Very pedestrian. Like scoring 13 points in a game like they did yesterday. 13 points, Josh, was a normal quarter for Patrick Mahomes or a drive. I mean, like he would score two touchdowns on one drive. I mean, like so we're looking at something that has changed. It's gone from 0 to 1,000, and now we're back to almost zero again with this offense. And that's the perplexing thing. Like, how did we get here with this team right now? Did everybody just say, screw it, we've arrived, and we're just going to throw our helmets out there and play? Did they not take the off-season stuff serious? Are they not taking the in-season stuff serious? Are they just believing that they're going to just get it turned around? They're not listening to what's going on? Like, how do you go from just dominating, crushing, setting records to being the greatest thing we've ever seen to, like, Miami was better than what you've done?
I mean, we gave a lot of credit for, like, it starts at the top and filters down with this team,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, things absolutely. Things are going well. Starts with Andy Reid, right?
It starts with Patrick Mahomes. It starts with Tyron. Like, you know, we gave them.
Correct.
That was the trio.
Right, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, if it's not going well for Patrick Mahomes, don't you think that filters down to everybody else?
Yeah, sure it does. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I guess if we credit it for the good sliding downhill,
right,
then the bad, I guess, might slide downhill.
So it starts with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Tyron Matthew, I guess, right now. And Tyron's not having
I know that.
What's that?
I said poo slide.
Yeah, but Tyron's not having a bad season. He's playing just fine. He's not having the dynamics.
3 weeks ago, everybody said he was terrible not re-signing him, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm still not re-signing him, but I mean, it's like...
I'm not saying he's been... I'm not pointing the finger at him either, but I mean, just a few weeks ago, everybody was. Well, yeah, like, sure. Oh, he's terrible too. I think the defense is showing signs. On offensive side, though, definitely, like, okay, your leader is not leading right now. And so how does that become contagious really fast? It looks like it has.
Uh-huh.
We're just trying to help Mahomes get over his slump. So we've asked some former NFL quarterbacks how they did it. Castle, Quinn, and Namath. Oh, my. Next.
Mahomes is the great magician.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
There has never been a better time to work at Amazon. Right now, they are offering higher sign-on bonuses and more hourly pay. Earn more this season with part-time or full-time jobs with flexible shifts that you choose to fit your life. You can start working in as little as 7 days. Amazon also provides countless opportunities to advance your career through training and tuition programs, so you can reach your highest potential. To get started today, go to amazon.com/apply. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
When we keep Idaho students in classrooms, they have better physical and mental health. Help keep the student you love in school by getting them vaccinated if they're eligible. Make sure they wear a mask, frequently wash their hands, and stay home and get tested when sick. Our teachers and other school staff can also do their part by choosing to vaccinate, wearing a mask, and supporting other preventive measures. For more information on preventive measures, please visit coronavirus.idaho.gov or contact your child's school.
Hey, this is Bella Porch letting you know it's time to tap in with HyperX's new Quadcast S microphone. The Quadcast S features dynamic RGB lighting, a tap-to-mute sensor, and 4 selectable polar patterns, making it the perfect microphone for gaming. Whether you're an aspiring streamer, podcaster, or even just working from home, the Quadcast S is your way to deliver quality sound to anyone listening. So what are you waiting for? Tap in.
All right, we're just trying to help. Everything has been, we're just trying to help. We don't want the quarterback to get back on track, back in stride again, whatever, back in whack. And so we enlisted the help of some former NFL quarterbacks.
Yes, sir.
Because every quarterback's been through this, right?
Just about. I would have said, if you would have said this to me at this time last year, I said, Patrick Mahomes has never been through this.
Right. He's not a normal quarterback.
Right.
Well, no, he's going through normal quarterback things. It's just, you know, 3+ years into his career.
Correct.
Which is the strange part of it all.
Yeah, at 7 o'clock, it won't be so strange anymore.
So we enlisted the help of some...
I think it's going to get more strange.
...former NFL Stranger. Quarterbacks, including Matt Castle, who joined us on the show earlier in the week.
I can't say more strange?
I don't think so, no.
How would he break out of a slump when he was having one?
It's going back to fundamentals. It's going back to technique. And it's also, you've got to be your own worst critic. And sometimes that's hard to do as a quarterback, especially with all the success that he has. Because, again, the pieces are there, right? And the guys that he's performed with and had success with, this isn't like a new offensive coordinator and a bunch of new weapons that you have on the outside that you've got to get used to. Instead, it's about him getting back, having the confidence, and at the same time taking what they give you. And that sometimes is difficult to do when you're a playmaking guy like he is that can do so many different things and get the ball downfield. At times you take those risky throws, and this year it's resulted in negative plays at times, but you don't want to take that away from him because that's what makes him special. And at the same time, you don't want to put your team at risk in terms of the turnover category. So it's, again, just protecting the football and getting back to what they do really well.
Fundamentals and technique, and be your own worst critic.
Yeah. I think the thing that Matt Castle said to me there, that or that I took away from that, what he said there, is that taking what they give you is hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he said that Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to, you know, take away what made him special. But the reality is right now he's not special. Right now he's an average quarterback in this league. And the average quarterbacks in this league, as Matt Castle would know, you would take what's there. You take what's given to you. You take what's available. You don't try to make something happen. And, we're through 9 weeks and everybody keeps saying, well, you don't want to take away what makes him special. But what makes him special is also what's making him very average right now. And if you take away what's making him very average and you take what's there and you move the ball down the field and you start scoring points again, then you can turn that back into being special. But right now, Patrick Mahomes is not a special quarterback in the NFL. He's a very average quarterback at this point in time.
And if you're this far in, too, I think there probably is a tendency to fight what you've done before, right? Mm-hmm. Having to have that pivot, what you've learned, what you've been through, what you've experienced. And you're like, but I have to change that a little bit now? It can be a hard transition.
Yeah, it can be, but those are the best athletes, and those are the ones that have the most success for the longest period of times, the ones that are willing to change. The ones that aren't willing to change end up at Omaha and the Kila Kaiahue or Clint Robinson or, you know, whatever other minor leaguer that we thought was going to...
Some of those guys just aren't good enough.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like if you're not willing to change...
I don't think I'm going to use Patrick Mahomes and Kila Kaiahue in the same sentence.
Well, then use Mike Moustakas in that, because he went down to the minor leagues, and he had a change, and if he didn't change, he never would have come back up here and been a part of, you know, two World Series teams.
Dropped a bunt.
Right.
We chatted as well with Brady Quinn, another former Chiefs quarterback, now with Fox Sports and Fox Sports Radio. You can hear his show before ours. He comes on at 5 o'clock here on 610 Sports
and
Radio.
And many don't remember him being the quarterback. That was 2012.
Yeah, he had that great season, and well, it wasn't even on him, but he was part of that.
Had a great Subway commercial, too.
That part of that that season here in Kansas City. But anyway, we'll chat with Brady, the full interview coming up at 8 o'clock. His overall thoughts on the Chiefs. But we asked him, did you ever have to fight through something? And fight through something like that maybe was going against what you'd done as a quarterback, like Mahomes is going through.
I think one of the toughest things is when you have to, you know, play a certain style or way because of, you know, what your team is presenting you or based on the scheme. Like, I remember coming from college where we ran an NFL system. You know, I got to Cleveland, and Rob Chudzinski, our offensive coordinator, basically wanted the center to control everything. And I was like, man, this really, I don't feel comfortable doing this. You know, in college, you get in those road games where you get 100,000 people, and they're all screaming and yelling. You can't hear anything up front. And so you'd rather be come from one voice where you're up there directing the protection or directing the run blocking scheme. So that way, when you go back into shotgun, I'm looking at the running back and say, hey, you have that guy, and then get out if he doesn't end up blitzing. Or, hey, chip this edge, then get out. So, you know, I make sure to have an option, or so you can affect the defense. And I remember getting into places like Baltimore and trying to play in those loud and tough defenses, tough environments, and you have a communication breakdown, which leads to a protection breakdown, which ultimately ends up impacting you. And so I had to kind of get comfortable with not having quite as much control, which I don't know that I ever really did, at least in that system. But you had to realize, like, all right, I just got to play fast. I can override this if need be. But for the most part, like, there may be situations where I have to make a guy miss. And it's really hard when you're trained. I mean, and I had 2 years with Charlie Weiss. It's really hard when you're trained a certain way to then make that adjustment in a short period of time. I mean, you'd like to have a year or two to really feel ingrained in the system. And, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes has been in the system for a while. He's been doing this for a while. You know, what we're talking about asking him to do as far as not making some of the throws that he's attempting to make, like, it's a double-edged sword because you want to take away some of those risks, but at the same time, you get big plays out of those every once in a while. So how do you go about, you know, managing that? I think the biggest thing is just getting him to understand, you know, at the point in time in the game, when you're up or when you need to, when you're down by a certain amount where you have to take that risk versus if it's a tight game, right, where you don't want to take that risk, you'd rather play a field position battle. But again, their defense is struggling. So I understand the point where he'd be stressing to try to make throws that he can make, but might be into tight windows or tight coverage.
That's Brady Quinn. He'll join us for a full interview coming up at 8 o'clock. I hear Brady Quinn, and I think, okay, now we're also going to then circle to the point in time where we're just going to have to make it simpler on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think so.
Like, here are all the things. You got to know which situation in the game to go. And then we're gonna come full circle and go, we just have to make it simpler.
Right. Absolutely. You just got to dumb it down a little bit for everybody, right?
Like, oh, man, there might be a lot of voices going on right now.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are, because I'm sure everybody's up there trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong. And everybody out there is got an answer, and everybody wants to have a solution. Everybody wants to lend a hand. And, you know, sometimes you do just have to kind of dumb it down and make it simple and make it easy. And that's kind of what Brady Quinn has said. That's kind of what Matt Cassel said. All of these guys have been through, you know, those times in the NFL where things didn't go their way and things didn't turn out the way that they would have liked. I'm sure Brady Quinn and Matt Cassel both look back at their careers and go, man, I wish I would have had more success on the field. Matt Cassel made $66 million in his career, so he did okay. I would imagine Brady Quinn did okay from that standpoint, too. But at the end of the day, I'm sure they would have liked to have more team successes than what they were able to experience in their careers in the
team
NFL.
Team success.
Yes, exactly. Team success is right. And so, you know, you hear Brady Quinn talk about it. You hear Matt Cassel talk about it. Those guys actually did go through struggles and probably more so had to work on that every day of going through struggles and how to get through that. So I think those are two guys that have a good perspective on it because it was never easy for Matt Cassel and it was never easy for Brady Quinn.
And they're fully.
And it's not easy for Patrick Mahomes right now.
Fully admitting we weren't nearly as talented
right,
as Patrick
exactly,
Mahomes is.
Exactly, yeah.
And then also kind of the messages, because how could Patrick Mahomes not lean on, well, here's how I've done it for 3 years.
Sure.
We need to do something different now?
Yeah, absolutely
like,
we do.
We got, but we had all the success doing it. That'd be a hard look.
Right, yeah,
that'd be
absolutely.
A hard look and go, yeah, we do.
But
we
you
do
know what? Something.
Under the same system, we need to, the same group of coaches, and you know, it's like a coaching a change where you'd have to go, well, I have to learn a new system now after 3 years. That would
sure.
make more sense than, well, we're all the same group. What's going on here?
Right.
But
well, maybe after this season, if it continues like this, the perfect person for Patrick Mahomes to call would be like Alex Gordon. I mean, the guy did change his position and turned into a gold glove left fielder, the best left fielder of our generation from a defensive standpoint. And, you know, he was willing to change and do all that kind of stuff. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is one of his employees now, right? The Alex Gordon kind of works for the Royals these days. And so if I
can find him in the employee directory,
yeah,
is what you're saying?
Employee
okay.
handbook. You know, Gordon, Alex. But why wouldn't you do that, though, if you're Patrick Mahomes? If you truly want to, you know, like, uncover every possible way to do something, you've got Alex Gordon sitting right here in your backyard that you could just pick up the phone with and go, yeah, it's a different sport, but you changed your entire way and life of thinking and position and turned into a gold glove guy. He went from franchise savior, right? Alex Gordon did, to, oh my God, this guy stinks. I had him cut game one of the 2011 season. He goes down to the minor leagues, changes everything about himself, changes his entire career around, comes back up and becomes the best defensive left fielder we've ever seen in Royals history and one of the best of all time in Major League Baseball. That's a perfect phone call to make. Yeah. If Alex Gordon can do that and change like that, so can Patrick Mahomes.
I was thinking, you know, Kelsey helped do the tight end summit.
Yeah,
you know, whatever.
Sure.
I maybe Patrick needs a quarterback summit.
Quarterback summit.
You know, not, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers in a State Farm shoot.
Yeah.
Not the other stuff, but the quarterbacking stuff. I'm cool
yeah,
with.
Yeah, the quarterbacking
I'm cool
stuff.
With
yeah.
Aaron
so,
Rodgers.
Aaron, what kind of advice do
but
you
the,
have?
The personality stuff, I'd probably stay
yeah.
away from that regard. All right, so we heard from Brady Quinn. We heard from Matt Cassel. We also landed Joe Namath.
Oh.
How about
big
this?
It was a big get.
Big get. Joe Namath, we asked, how does Mahomes break out of his slump?
I couldn't care less about Pat Mahomes struggling.
I
worked really hard for that.
That was good.
I didn't
Thanks.
Think... I thought we'd get a little more out of Joe.
I thought so, too.
Joe was not interested.
No, doesn't huh. care. Could care less.
I couldn't care less about Pat Mahomes struggling.
So, thanks to Joe.
Kind of rude. He could have just said no to the interview.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Back to Alabama.
So, Joe Namath not interested in helping
no,
Patrick Mahomes. That's what we found out
we
today.
We tried.
Brady Quinn, Matt Cassel, the rest of us all in favor of this. Joe Namath, not so much. From the he was still playing department.
And we're a day late on this, by the way.
I know. This one, I don't know if it caught you guys off guard.
Let me set the mood. There you go.
Caught me off guard. Joaquin Soria has retired.
The question was, he was still playing?
That was the question.
Yeah. What did he play, like 14 years in Major League Baseball?
Soria was originally signed by the Dodgers as an 18-year-old. Had Tommy John surgery early in his career, causing him to miss two full seasons.
I'm glad John Walkenfuss didn't have that surgery, so we're not calling it the John Walkenfuss surgery.
The 37-year-old right-hander pitched in 14 major league seasons, 773 appearances.
At J-Dub. That's what it was.
427 games for the Royals with 162 saves, third in club history. His 2.82 ERA, the fourth lowest of anyone that pitched at least 200 innings in Royals history. Joaquim Soria.
And gone.
Is now retired.
Joaquim Soria is the prime example of holding on to talent too long. I remember his first go around with the Royals, Josh, and he was one of the bright spots for the organization at that point in time, right? The early, or I guess it was probably the late aughts, right, that he was here. And
they didn't win a lot of games, but he was saving them.
But he was saving them. And people were like,
the games he was saving them,
right,
kind of deal.
Like, well, yeah, we can't trade Soria. No, yeah, you can trade Soria and should have traded Soria and needed to trade Soria and moved on from that. If you're an organization that isn't winning, there's no reason to keep players like Soria on your roster. I think we can factor that in a little bit this year if things don't go the way we want them to go with Whit Merrifield. I mean, at this point in time, if you're not winning by the time the trade deadline comes around, it's okay to trade Whit Merrifield. It's probably better to go out there and trade Whit Merrifield and get something in return, you know, for Merrifield. You can backfill. You got enough middle infielders. I think it also applies to the Chiefs right now. Like when we get to the end of the season and guys have their contracts come up, there's going to be some hard decisions that need to be made. But usually those hard decisions are the right decisions. Letting guys walk, Tyrann Mathieu and Orlando Brown Jr., Frank Clark. I mean, there are guys that are coming up on contract that I would say, take care. It was nice having you, but I'm not bringing you back for more. The worst thing you can do is in sports stay too long, you know, with an athlete. And I think the Royals the first time around probably did that with Soria. We get caught up and like, well, he's really the only one that's doing something, but you're not winning games with him, and so you've got to move on from him. And I think, you know,
and
Soria,
then the second time, don't even get me started.
Well, don't get me started on that one. Oh,
talk about terrible re-signing.
Yeah, it was awful. He was terrible. And I think that is a great case study for where we are going with our teams in the future. You've got to be able to move on, and that's one of the things that we really struggle with here in Kansas City, is letting players go.
I was keep him. I was late on that one.
Yeah, I'd rather be early like New England than late and look at it and go, oh my God, we got three more years of Ian Kennedy.
And how you can really tarnish what are your memories?
You remember 16. You don't remember the good years.
I remember the bad.
Yeah, you don't remember the good stuff because he was really good for a very long period of time in Major League Baseball. Man, pitched 14 years in this game. That's a long time, man.
For the Royals, 07 to 2011. In that span, the Royals had 347 wins. Joaquim Soria saved 160 of them.
That's unbelievable. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, imagine if he wasn't
here. They had no wins, right? Yeah, is that what you're telling me? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some people
160 less.
Some people want to call this chief a bust, but maybe he's just been underutilized. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
You need a work schedule that fits your life, and Amazon has shifts that help you make the best use of your time. Whether you're a night owl, early bird, weekend warrior, or somewhere in between, discover the benefits of thinking outside the 9-to-5. You decide whether to seize the day or the night so you can get back to what matters most. Go to amazon.com/shifts to learn more. That's amazon.com/shifts. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer.
When we keep Idaho students in classrooms, they have better physical and mental health. Help keep the student you love in school by getting them vaccinated if they're eligible. Make sure they wear a mask, frequently wash their hands, and stay home and get tested when sick. Our teachers and other school staff can also do their part by choosing to vaccinate, wearing a mask, and supporting other preventive measures. For more information on preventive measures, please visit coronavirus.idaho.gov or contact your child's school.
When buying gifts for others, you know your choices impact lives in ways big and small, now and forever. The things you buy for someone else say a lot about who you are and what you're all about. You're tasteful, thoughtful, and meticulous. The same goes for your holiday gifts. When you choose to buy and give handmade items, they not only look great, they feel great because they're high quality and not mass-made. Celebrate the ones you love with a gift from Etsy. They're always beautifully made and incredibly thoughtful. Etsy is home to unique, one-of-a-kind, and meaningful gifts made by incredibly talented sellers. When you shop at Etsy, you know you'll find something that's made especially for you and each loved one on your list instead of the usual mass-made items. Plus, Etsy is giving first-time shoppers the gift of $10 off an Etsy purchase of $35 or more with code ETSYGIFT10. That's $10 off any Etsy purchase of $35 or more with the code ETSYGIFT10.
GIFT10. Offer ends December 31st, 2021. See terms at etsy.com/terms.
First of all, I thought he looked pretty good. Now, he's doing everything what he has to do in order to get back and do what he can to help us. You know, one thing with Clyde, I mean, you're missing a dynamic football player who's a jack of all trades. He does a great job when running the ball, does a great job out of the backfield. He does a great job in pass protection. So, you know, I think each and every one of those guys brings something different to the table. But that's what we're missing with Clyde. But, you know, just like we talk about any other position on this team, Greg is doing a heck of a job of preparing my man D. Will, okay, DG, Derek Gore, and on top of that, Jared McKinnon.
You said that was
all
G-Lew?
Of those guys are prepared to beat a man if called upon to do so. And they've all have done collectively a great job in filling in for Clyde.
CEH.
Eric Bieniemy discussing Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has returned to practice.
CEH.
He's been seen on the practice field, and the clock's now ticking for the return.
Sure.
We will chat coming up in 8 minutes with Andrea Malice. You may have heard her on the Ben Maller Show overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. She saw this coming with Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
She's been telling Ben about it, and Ben put us in contact with her, and sports astrologer will discuss what she sees in Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up. You don't want to miss this.
She's been featured in the New York Times, San Francisco Chronicle. She's on our sibling station, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. She does Sirius Radio. She does all kinds of stuff.
And not Sirius Radio sometimes,
And not too. Sirius Radio yeah. as well. That's right. With us, yes. Yeah.
So
I never even heard of the guy, to be honest.
So CEH. The questions are, I mean, you and I have always been like, I'm not necessarily a first round running back guy.
Nope.
I think some offenses might need it more than the Chiefs do. I don't think the Chiefs are ever really going to be in that spot.
Did you hear the guys that Eric Bieniemy named though? That G. Lou is helping with D. Will and all the others.
Yeah.
You know, like they're fine.
Yeah.
They've always been fine.
Always
with just
fine.
A guy you don't know at running.
So
back.
Then you
said
hear
G. Lou.
You hear CH and. The last time I got heard, there were a lot of people like, he's bust anyway.
Right.
And I'm like, is he? If he was maybe not a first round pick, I think we'd feel probably better about it. I think that factors in where you're picked, right?
Sure, always.
But also I just don't think the running back's gonna be overtly featured in this offense. I mean, we did have Kareem Hunt a few years ago. It feels like the anomaly.
Sure.
The rest of it's like an added component. And
he wasn't a name either. He was a third-round draft pick out of a mid-major that Binkley was watching on Tuesday nights.
And I think he probably is better than CEH. I mean, I think his career would tell you that thus far, on-the-field career would tell you thus far. But have we had the full look at CEH so far either?
No,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
A full dose of, give him the ball, see what he can do. I don't feel like I have any kind of finished picture of what he is.
Yeah, I don't really know. I know he's been injured, and so there is that factor as well. I mean, it's safe to say through 2 years, is he injury prone? Yeah, he's been injured in the 2 years that he's been in the NFL, and so you have to factor that in as well, Josh, when it comes to, you know, defining somebody's career. We did it with Sammy Watkins. We do it with everybody, right? If you're injured and you can't play, it does factor into, you know, ultimately what you do. But I hate to use the term bust on Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now, because I don't think that he's a bust. I think he is being underutilized right now, and I don't think the Chiefs have really committed to using Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and that's why that pick at the time, you and I were like, all right, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. They're coming off a Super Bowl, and this is the guy that they want, and it should take the offense, you know, to the next level. But if you're going to draft a running back in the first round, then you need to utilize this guy. You need to make sure that you are getting the most out of him. And I think Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy have failed in that department, thus causing us as fans to go, is this guy a bust? I don't know that they've ever given him an opportunity to be a bust. And when you look at his numbers, he's averaged 145 touches a season for the 2 years that he's been in the NFL, has just 8 catches this year. And I know he's missed a couple of games, but they weren't utilizing him in the screen game at the beginning of the year like we had talked about in April with Mitch Holthus when he was sitting here in this studio about how they were going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And he was all excited, and so were we, about the young, athletic offensive line, the screen game, getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire involved more in the passing game. He's got 8 catches this year. And when he was given the chance to run this year against the Chargers and the Eagles, he did put up some pretty good numbers. 17 carries, though, is his high for the season right now. And if you're a first-round running back, 17 carries as your high in a game for the season, that's a very low number right now. That should be the minimum for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is like 17 in a game. And so if that's the way you're going to utilize them, right, and you're only going to utilize them in spurts, why did you spend a first-round draft pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? It seems like the investment that you made in him, you're not willing to see the residuals and see it through and to see what happened. So because of the way that Andy Reid is using him, it was a wasted first-round draft pick right now. But I think if Andy Reid was utilizing him in the right way, I think we'd see more out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And when you look at when they do give him the ball, he had 2 games last year where he had over 20 carries, and he went for 137 yards in both of those games. You know, so when they give him the ball, he produces. He's just so underutilized right now by this team. And so I can't call him a bust. I look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and I go, Andy Reid, start using the guy, man. We've got this guy here. Don't spend high picks on running backs.
On a running back who you're going to use for 15 carries or less.
Correct. Yeah, you can utilize that on somebody else.
Yeah. Feels like that you could get that elsewhere. You get the Jerick McKinnons of the world. You get the Darrell Williams of the world.
Exactly.
And use a lot less capital to go and do that. Eric Bieniemy on how to make this offense balanced.
Well, we just need to make sure we're keeping it balanced, just like you said. You know, the running back coach in me always wants to run the ball, but sometimes it's a little easier to move that ball when you're catching passes, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. But that's just about being patient. Being patient, you know, picking your times when you want to take shots and just making sure that we're doing what is right for our players. But one thing that we all know, too, is very well, is regardless of whether it's a run or a pass play, all of our plays are designed to score. So we're expecting that execution. And so, like I said, right now we're learning how to fight again. We're learning how to crawl again, which sometimes you have to learn
again
to crawl before you walk, okay? And that's just the journey in which this season has taken us. But the thing that I'm not going to say is that it hasn't been good for us. It has been good for us because if we take care of business and we handle this the right way, okay, this is going to be something that we'll look back upon and say, yes, because of those struggles that we've had and because of the adversity that we've been faced with, we learned how to persevere and come through it and be better. And that's the goal right now. To be better. That's all that matters.
He's laying out the perfect plan for a team in year one.
Yeah. You don't want to be going through this now.
Right. No. Oh, yeah. No. We faced struggles early on, and we had to, you know, use those struggles to learn how to get better.
And in 3 years, look at us. We're Super Bowl champs.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like that's a good explanation for year
Not
one.
Not coming off of a Super Bowl. It doesn't feel like that would be the spot you're but that's the spot they're in, man.
A Super Bowl? We're talking back-to-back Super Bowls and 3 straight AFC championship games, right?
Right.
Yeah, like, I thought this was stuff that was long in the past.
Sometimes you got to learn to crawl before you walk, though, Bob.
And then crawl again.
And then crawl. So we're
back to walking,
like, and it's not like we change
it's also
personnel.
Not sometimes, every time you have to learn to crawl before you walk.
Guys, we
I've
haven't
got three
changed.
Kids. None of them have walked before they crawled.
No, they have
just
not.
Putting that out there.
But did you ever have one that like barely crawled?
No,
like that just kind
of. Did you ever have one that just crawled right out of the womb and like did amazing things from jump?
No.
So, but honestly, like we're in year 4 with Patrick Mahomes, right? And the personnel hasn't changed. The coaches haven't changed. The system haven't changed. And Eric Bieniemy's acting like they just took over this operation and they're going through growing pains. That's what it sounds like to me. Hey, man, this is Eric Bieniemy in his first job, the first year head coach of the Houston Texans or whatever team he's going to, you know, be the head coach of. We're going through growing pains. We got to crawl before we can walk. Not an offense that was one of the most dynamic in the history of the world in year 4 with a quarterback who was the MVP and a Super Bowl MVP and a Super Bowl champion. Like, this should not be the conversation right now. It's very concerning.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HG2 Liberty, an Odyssey station. I've also heard it's not as bad as people. It's close. I'm not saying it's not close. I think this offense is very, very close.
Very
to bring
close.
Out.
But that's the difference between the NFL's good teams and not good teams.
But, you know, I didn't expect this team to be 7th in yards, 14th in yards per play, 15th in points per game.
Yeah, that's absurd.
15th in rushing, I'd say, okay, maybe. They're probably running the ball better than we give them credit for, even though we're discussing running back. They're right. 112 yards per game. If you told me that, I'm like, oh, okay, they're running the ball. 6th in passing, okay. 32nd in giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
19th in red zone touchdown percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not numbers of a Chiefs offense of this vintage.
Nope. Those are numbers that you can have in year one of the system. If you had those for numbers in Patrick Mahomes' first year, like, he's a rookie, he's a young kid. Okay, no big deal. That ain't the case anymore.
No. Again, from the we're willing to help department or what's going on department, sometimes we go to extraordinary lengths. Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, regular contributor on our show, joins us each and every Thursday on the show, led us to this person because she's been a part of his show for a number of years and had some thoughts on Patrick Mahomes. She is a certified astrologer. Creatrix of Virgo in Service, Astrological Consulting, and graduate of Vicki Noble's Mother Peace School of Healing Arts. Her name is Andrea Malis. You can check out the website, virgoinservice.com.
Yes, and she has been seen on ESPN, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, our sibling station, Fox Sports Radio, as we mentioned, the Ben Maller Show. And she's also been featured in the New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle. And she recently appeared on CBS News Sunday Morning on Super Bowl Sunday. And she joins us now here on 610 Sports Radio. And Andrea, we heard from Ben that you kind of saw this coming for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, timing is everything. And what's really interesting, Bob, in a cosmic coincidence, I happen to be born September 17th also. Different year, of course, but we're both having the same Neptune transit. And I'll spare you the details about any challenges I may be facing. And it was like, oh, okay, Neptune opposing his son. I mean, he's an athlete. He's in the public eye. You know, it's different when, you know, you have a difficult transit and, you know, everyone is watching you and there's all these expectations. So basically, he's born September 17, 1995, Tyler, Texas. I don't have an accurate birth time, but if you ever do find one, please do let
me
know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sun is your basic energy. It's your basic vitality. And an outer planet transit like Neptune, one, can be very confusing, and two, lasts for well over a year because the outer planets move very slowly, a degree to a year plus they retrograde. So Neptune transits, particularly the opposition, it's like the three Ds, disappointment, discouragement, and some disillusionment. So there's these unfulfilled hopes and feeling like, you know, what's gone wrong? It's like this dark night of the soul. And I just saw an interview with him about a week or so ago, and he's like, yeah, it's not rainbows and unicorns this year. And then there was an article, I think the Kansas City Star interviewed him, and he said something about, you know, the challenges that he's facing, and, you know, he's going to keep on keeping on, but he's definitely, you know, not in the same place he was last year. So I think on some level, obviously, he's feeling it, and he's more likely to feel tired and just, you know, not himself. And he was just so, you know, over the top before. So it's like a big shift with all these expectations. And that's the thing. You can't pay someone to have your transits. You know, you're going to go through them. You know, there's no way out but through. And the last Super Bowl, when they lost to the Buccaneers, that transit, Bob, was already happening.
You said a year. So what is the time frame from when to when? So it did involve the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So
yes, and it will go on through this year and on and off through next. So we really do have to manage our expectations. And the thing is, Saturn is also squaring his Mars now. That won't be in effect next season, but it's in effect this season. And as I said, Mars is energy, assertion, aggression, crucial planet for an athlete. Saturn is limitation. So this is when his power feels thwarted, his actions meet with resistance, and he feels frustrated, restricted, and blocked, constantly challenged by others, unable to fulfill desires easily. The more he tries to fulfill his goals and ambitions, the more futile they become. So this is a really challenging time. The Neptune opposed Sun transit and Saturn square Mars, again, a crucial planet for an athlete. So this is, definitely a time when his energies are being put to the test. And, you know, if the universe brings you to it, they'll bring you through it and he'll grow through it. But in the meantime, you know, this is not his year.
When is this, let's just say, rough patch, awful time in Patrick Mahomes' career going to come to a close?
Yeah, well, this season it's challenging. We also have Neptune opposed Sun, and then the additional challenge of Saturn square Mars, which is, you know, imbalanced energy and definitely kind of fits of anger there. And ego kind of dissolving with the Neptune transit. So not this season. Next season, Saturn stops squaring his Mars, so he does get a break there. But Neptune is still opposing his Sun on and off through next year. So basically, it's about a two-year duration. And it would be great to if we ever can obtain his birth time to see a little bit more information, but based on what I have this season and into next.
So do we need to check his receivers then, too, to make sure that they're in something opposite?
Well, good point. I mean, obviously, you want to look at the coaches' transits. You want to look at, you know, the rest of the players. And, you know, transits don't occur in a vacuum, Bob. So Pluto in Capricorn will be trining his Sun in Virgo. Trines are harmonious. They're in the same element. Capricorn is Earth. Virgo is Earth. And that will be January, September. Basically, it'll be a reprieve a little bit into next year. But basically, obstacles and the best made plans can go awry. And confusion is happening there. So I know that's hard. He's a Virgo. He's got Mars in Scorpio. He's nothing if not ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just timing is everything. And this is just, you know, we always say, well, it's not my year. But when you're an athlete and you've been doing really well, it's hard on an organic level to kind of throttle back and say, oh, you know. But he did know. See, that's what gets me, Bob, when I saw the interviews. He did admit something was off and something was wrong.
So are we looking at 2023 then, Andrea, until he's back to what we remember Patrick Mahomes being for the first 3 years of his career?
Yes, I would go with that assessment.
Not Andrea good. Malice, certified astrologer. You can find her at virgoinservice.com. Mention 610 Sports Radio and you get a 10% discount.
That's exactly right.
So are you messing with me right now?
No. Go to, she did my reading. I got to go through it later tonight with a cocktail.
Promo code we got to
right.
Give out?
No.
Just mention 610. You get 10% off. Yeah.
virgoinservice.com.
That's right. She'll do e-readings and she'll email you astrology reports. She did it for me.
At Virgo in Service on Twitter.
When's the last time you squared your Mars?
Yesterday.
I usually get two in before lunch.
Yesterday. So that's where I am right now. I mean, we've heard from coaches.
All the things he's battling?
Players.
Seems it was in the stars.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, this was predicted by her before the season that it was going to be a down year for Patrick Mahomes. But there's a concerning thing and a not concerning thing for me. She said it kind of subsides between January and September of next year. Well, if that happens, they get into the playoffs January and February, it could be very exciting because he's not going to be going through this. But once September kicks back in again next year, he could be squaring his Mars and fighting with Virgo. So, I mean, we've got a situation there that we need to watch, and it doesn't seem like, according to the stars and the astrology charts, that Patrick Mahomes is going to be back until 2023.
Wow. It started with the Super Bowl. That's what's true.
And that was the interesting thing about that, because you caught that right away. You're like, oh, did this start the Super Bowl? She goes, yeah,
we were
it
blaming
started.
The offensive line.
Right.
It was not in his stars.
Yeah, his Uranus
on that
was
day.
In the seventh house or something.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that.
Yeah, so that's the latest.
And now,
that's what I'm going with because nobody else has a logical answer for it.
And now I'm going to have to grab the roster. I'm going to have to look at birthdays. I'm going to have to send like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce stuff to her, probably Andy Reid's stuff to her.
Yeah.
Figure out if we're, I mean, I'd like to think OBJ's birthday was not going to be
a mesh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's where we're at, huh?
Well, so, I mean, what other answer do you have?
I'm
that's fair.
I think we need to go to all corners.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I do too. I think it was a logical explanation because we have seen.
We asked what Patrick Mahomes is fighting through stuff. It's clear, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's in the stars. It's clear.
It's clear. He's battling every single day.
Got to square up his Mars.
Right.
And get through this.
I mean, she went to Vicky Nolan's Mother Play School of Healing Arts, Josh, and so she knows what she's talking about.
I'm not discounting it.
You're laughing.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm glad you're a funny man over there. What's your solution right now, Mr. Hat on Backwards?
I guess it's that he's, you know, the stars have him cursed. That's what it is.
Exactly.
That's
as logical of explanation
as any of the other ones I've heard. How many football people have we had on try to explain what's going on and nobody can?
This
and
satisfies me way more than
have we
damn
considered
two deep
squaring
safeties.
His Mars and putting his Virgo in.
It's the two deep safeties. No, maybe the stars,
it's
people.
It's the stars. The two deep safeties
I'm
have nothing to do with this.
Much more comfortable with that as an answer.
That's right.
This week's game with the Raiders marks
because it means it ain't his fault that he'll get through this eventually when the stars get back in whack.
Yeah, there you go. This week's game with the Raiders marks the start of the second half. We'll lay out what needs to be ahead next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
There has never been a better time to work at Amazon. Right now, they are offering higher sign-on bonuses and more hourly pay. Earn more this season with part-time or full-time jobs with flexible shifts that you choose to fit your life. You can start working in as little as 7 days. Amazon also provides countless opportunities to advance your career through training and tuition programs so you can reach your highest potential. To get started today, go to Amazon.com/apply. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Love It or Leave It is an insanely funny, wildly popular, critically beloved, extremely handsome podcast hosted by former Obama speechwriter John Lovett on Crooked Media. Each week, Lovett, that's me, is joined by comedians, journalists, activists, elected officials, and more to break down the latest news with humor, analysis, and light optimism wherever applicable. New episodes drop every Saturday morning. Listen on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When we keep Idaho students in classrooms, they have better physical and mental health. Help keep the student you love in school by getting them vaccinated if they're eligible. Make sure they wear a mask, frequently wash their hands, and stay home and get tested when sick. Our teachers and other school staff can also do their part by choosing to vaccinate, wearing a mask, and supporting other preventive measures. For more information on preventive measures, please visit coronavirus.idaho.gov or contact your child's school.